right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies, John and Chuck.
What to do?
Gentlemen, how are we? What did we eat for breakfast?
Chuck, you go first.
You know me, baby. Roasters had me a chili cheese corn dog from a gas station like a boss.
What time was this around?
9:30. I had to go hang out with my kid.
They've got cheese.
Had to.
Corn.
They
got corn dogs at 9:30 a.m. Huh?
You've made this. Is this now a daily routine?
It's just on the way to my son's place. And the only other option is Sonic. And really, Sonic's incredible, but you don't have chili cheese corn dogs at Sonic. So,
wait, they don't? I would have bet money they had chili cheese corn dogs
and
at Sonic.
They have chili cheese footlongs.
When I say chili cheese corn dog, what do you think?
I'm thinking it's inside the corn.
Right. It's a flavoring. It's a chili cheese flavor.
So how much different is this than a can of Pringles?
It's on that same level.
It's a dust. It's a pork dust.
A maltodextrin?
That's exactly what it is. It's a chemically engineered chili cheese, flavoring. But it has
basically like chili cheese Fritos, the hot dog.
Exactly. the breakfast.
I believe Taco Bell's coming out with that.
Holy moly. Unless it's served in a bag of Fritos, I want nothing to do with it.
you are spitting out million-dollar ideas. They're just falling from your mouth. Mm-hmm.
I really think it's important that it comes out of that bizarre plastic metal bag.
Bag?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Aluminium bag.
John, did you eat breakfast this morning?
I had allergy medicine this morning for breakfast because the pollen count is so high that no one in my house can breathe or think straight.
That may be what's going on with me. I think I'm sick, but it's probably just the pollen.
Does it feel like there are knitting needles
in
lodged in your sinuses?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly what
that is. That's allergies.
That is a staple of the Middle Tennessee lifestyle.
Yes, mm-hmm. The valley.
Down in the basin. Cumberland Basin. Mm-hmm. I had a cinnamon roll. For breakfast.
Cinnabon?
I wish.
Cinnabon?
I don't think... Are there free... I guess there are freestanding Cinnabons in the world. I think of them as an airport or a mall food.
I didn't do this podcast, my other dream podcast is called Food Court, wherein I get a pal, we go to the Opry Mills Mall, we go to the food court, we eat a meal, argue about what movie we're going to see, turn the podcast off, watch said movie, then reconvene at Cinnabon and discuss said movie.
It's just about the movie and the food. It's pretty good.
I thought there was going to be
it was going to be more food related.
Yeah, a judge involved in a high court.
Well, I'm pretty sure when I order
the bailiff,
when I order a Stromboli, and then stick it on top of the Cajun noodles that is really just Chinese food because they can't have more than one Chinese place by some sort of archaic law.
And I like how these are. You could be blindfolded, put on a plane, dropped off in any mall food court, and you're at home. This is great. I was in the Charlotte airport last week.
That's a hell of an airport.
One of the reasons we were delayed, was because of travel and things and putting up last week's podcast. They had in their food court, a thing I'd never seen, they had a Genghis grill.
Oh, that's awesome.
In an airport food court. And I didn't know how that works because I went and checked it out. I was just curious because
Did you see any professional athletes?
I didn't see any. No, I had my eyes peeled for random Panthers who might be reporting to training camp or anything.
When I make my yearly sojourn, it's really more of a pilgrimage to the Cool Springs Genghis Grill.
Right. That's south of Nashville.
I always see Nashville Predators there because they can get triple protein.
Right. Right. Well, so I guess the
egg and meat.
The airport fish. Version of a Genghis grill, you just actually choose one of 10 bowl flavor. It's not an actual pile up your own meats.
Boo earns.
But it was next door to a Cinnabon. They were side by side. That's a decadent. That could be a decadent evening in the Charlotte airport.
All I need to feel at home is I need to see somebody putting stolen cell phones into one of those return a cell phone machine and then a German nut stand. And I feel all right, I can do this.
My negative takeaway of the Charlotte airport was there was a bar that was serving. I mean, a bar that was showing. The Cavs Bulls. I believe it was game 5, Cavs Bulls. Mm-hmm. This bar closed. This bar was full.
Oh, during the game?
It closed at 9:30 Eastern time, which is like in the first quarter of playoff games, you know, I've learned in the Eastern time. So, yeah, it was. I think it was approaching halftime of the Bulls game. The bar shut down, and they're like, yeah, there's no... So I was like, this is... I used to have pity for the people of Charlotte for the Lance Stephenson free agent signing. No more.
That's their cross to bear.
That is their...
Speaking of airports, that's the best airport in the country for me. Charlotte.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Really?
It's small. It's maneuverable. Free Wi-Fi. Good food.
It's a bit long. I was flying some U.S. Air. We were getting in on, like, you know, the E...
Terminal.
Yeah. And then we had to go to B, and it was forever. And you might have those little moving walkways, but it was forever walking.
I mean, it's when I say small, it's not Houston or Atlanta.
I have enough shame about my body. I'm not getting on a moving walkway. It's not going to happen. That's every step that helps. That's the end of days for me.
Do you hate escalators as well? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoofing it.
Escalators, you can just raise your knees as high as you can and touch it with your opposite elbow, and it's like a nice workout, kind of a calisthenic workout.
Treadmill. That's a core thing, core strength.
Let's talk basketball.
Let's talk basketball. All right. So that wrapped up our breakfast talk. Now, after our breakfast talk, we do our breakfast in bed apologies.
Get to it.
This is our chance to make up for anything we might have gotten wrong in previous episodes. I'll go first. I would guess, I think my apology would have to go to the Los Angeles Clippers. Before the season, I thought there was no way. The way they never upgraded their bench, they never addressed their defense, their front court defense, their depth, and they just kind of filled their roster, you know, with like leftover players from the 2008 Eastern Conference playoffs.
Republicans.
Right. And a lone Republican. I assume that would keep them from being able to advance very far in the playoffs. Uh-huh. I assume they wouldn't, you know, be able to break out. I thought, you know, second round was best case scenario. Right. I thought Chris Paul's playoff failures would kind of hold him back. Uh-huh. I thought Blake Griffin kind of transforming into the poor man's Karl Malone would keep them from doing much in the playoffs. You know, I thought the draft picks for Doc Rivers were a bit excessive. I thought the moves that GM Doc made were laughable all year. Everyone was really putting him down. And then, you know, but they finally did it. They took care of business. Now ESPN or TNT, the NBA, has that conference finals marquee matchup they wanted of Warriors playoffs. I mean, Warriors, Clippers, going to get the big ratings that they've been missing.
Wait,
do you know the Clippers lost, right?
What do you mean?
The Rockets beat them.
Three straight games.
Yeah, three games in a row.
The Houston Rockets are in the conference finals?
Yeah, they are. The Clippers are no longer. They have been eliminated.
They blew them out.
What?
See, the curtain. Now we're looking behind the curtain here. Keith never watched a minute.
The Emperor has no clothes.
Keith.
The Los Angeles Clippers blew that lead, 3-1 lead?
They did.
I thought the games were blowouts.
They were
for the Rockets.
Was Tracy McGrady involved in any way?
No.
This is shocking.
His cousin, Matt Barnes, was heavily involved.
Yeah. Someone...
Well, I'm someone else go. I'm now very befuddled.
Well, speaking of the Rockets, I will go ahead and apologize to the one and only Josh Smith, who I, in one conspiracy this year, claimed that Daryl Morey picked him up only to drop him and then increase the efficiency of their team.
I believe you created a sabermetric stat.
There was a stat involved. It was called wins above Josh Smith replacements. So, because the Hawks got better when they got rid of Smith.
Was it Wadsworth?
Wadsworth.
Yeah, wins above Jay Schmoove.
Right.
Yeah, Josh Smith. Guess who's shooting better than Kyle Korver from three in the playoffs?
Everyone?
Yes.
No,
all
I'm kidding.
Humans.
And Josh Smith.
Me.
So, you're looking at a player who's come in. He had a lights-out game that basically broke the Clippers over his knee. And, you know, it's an incredible thing that someone figured out how to use Josh Smith properly in the NBA, and it took, whatever, a decade.
Which leads me to my apology that someone is somehow Kevin McHale. With whom I've been, what's the opposite of enamored with? Disgusted by all year.
Appalled by.
And somehow pulled probably the best three games. Certainly has pulled the best out of Dwight Howard lately.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard has been breaking the Clippers back by the game, the whistle blows, the ball is thrown into the air to commence the game, and suddenly Dwight Howard immediately has 12 points and 11 rebounds
in every game.
Yeah. And the Clippers are not a bad rebounding team, especially DeAndre Jordan, who led the league in rebounding. Mm-hmm. Although this might show you the emptiness of some of those stats. Dwight Howard gets every rebound he wants in that series.
With two good rebounders on that from a statistical standpoint.
Every rebound he wanted, he got. And, I mean, he just bullied them.
Yeah.
And there were... spoiler, I actually watched some of it.
Wait, what? That was just a bit? No.
There were plenty of rebounds to be had.
Yes.
The J.J. Redick...
He turned back into a pumpkin.
Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford, I think, in the last three games, his plus-minus was minus 60. That's playing 20-something minutes a game.
I'm very afraid of the iShop this week. Very afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But because I think a certain Grizzly might be all over it. But, there were a lot of iShop candidates in this series. But back to Kevin McHale, the slippery eel. He also... rolled out he let the Clippers poor shooters shoot, and he actually had a competent strategy.
Yeah, there was a real game plan.
And he stopped. He did not play the hack of whomever.
No. The quit doing the fouling thing was, I think, a big deal. I've heard of several people talk about how the Clippers were so thin. You know, they had no depth.
Yes.
And if you look at the plus minus again, outside of the Austin Rivers game and the blowouts,
right?
The hack, whoever strategy, was giving rest. Like, right. J.J. Redick was playing 40 minutes a game. Chris Paul, obviously 40. Blake, 40. And they were just letting them rest and stand around all these times. And so finally, I think maybe it piled up. Maybe J.J. Redick got tired. He was doing a lot of the heavy lifting, actually, on defense. He was guarding James Harden.
He had an amazing series against the Spurs, but like I said, turned back into a pumpkin. And the hack of whomever strategy claimed two teams already in this playoffs.
Right.
It's what killed the Spurs. It's what killed the Clippers.
The J.J. Redick games 1-4 shot 54% from 3, 53% overall, 19.5 points. In games 5-7, 11 points on 30% shooting.
And like you said, some excellent defense by Redick as well. Daryl Morey just comes out looking like a genius rapscallion.
I mean, the move at the beginning of the offseason to choose effectively Trevor Ariza over Chandler Parsons
looks brilliant.
It turns into this wonderful cap-saving space that allows them to sign Josh Smith, that allows them to pick up Prigioni, who is
the inbound steel wizard.
The Prigioni closeout game performance when he comes in at the end of the third was amazing. Yeah. It's so much fun when you see like a 40-year-old, I don't know, he's like 38 maybe.
No, he's close to 40.
He's close to 40, and him just coming in and making big clutch plays.
Also, lots of... Clippers' mental weakness to let Pablo Prigioni do that to you late in the game.
And I think anytime you do have that, you have to attribute it to some. I mean, that's such a abstract idea, the idea of mental weakness or something like. But it's still, they won many games by blowout. They were up 19, and that going into the fourth of that or whatever, late that's, second half of
that's an all time TiVo
of the game
too.
Six.
Yeah. That is DVR. Do not delete that game.
Well, the fourth quarter was 40-15 Rockets. I mean, it was staggering. And some of that again, it's just I guess when teams get going. I don't know how sustainable it is. Unsustainable business model me. The Josh Smith hitting his threes. Corey Brewer came off a curl and knocked down a three.
Yeah.
Van Gundy was like, you got to guard him closer. I'm like, nah, you don't. Yeah, like that was just like.
Don't want.
Sometimes those go in.
It's like when Iguodala was torching the Grizzlies. It's just like, oh no, everything's happening. Right. It's all happening.
Right. When Iguodala hits three threes,
Chuck and I watched.
Turn it off, the game's
the
over.
The last game at a Chili's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
God,
Clippers
Rockets series. And when Ariza hit that kind of dagger three, because Clippers made a bit of a run at the very end of the game.
They got it within 10.
Actually, they got it within like six, and then there was a phantom. Foul,
yeah,
in the favor of the Rockets.
Mm-hmm. It was we're watching it and we're just looking over at each other and we're like, man, Daryl Morey. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but not getting Chandler Parsons and getting Trevor Ariza looks ingenious now.
I mean, we've hit a point in the NBA where you see all these random wings and you're like, are we better off paying this guy? Who
12 or 15 minutes a year.
As opposed to just trying to find some guys we can get for eight. Like, we can get one for eight, we can get another for three and two. We can get three players to see if some of them can hit shots.
Right. And it's with it, it's almost, I would rather take three 35% three-point shooters that cost less than one 42% three-point shooter, because the 42% three-point shooter, as we see with Kyle Korver, who shot lights out during the year, he's hit a cold run. And if your whole team depends on that player hitting his shots, Miami did that for a while, where they just had a bunch of guys that they can kind of plug in, and if one of them was hot, they stuck right with them. And that's what I think you have to do now, and it almost seems like a better plan to build a team.
Are we scattered and smothered yet?
We're not yet. No, we're not even close, John. Actually,
holy moly,
that's just so.
I have some thoughts on Korver and the Hawks.
Yeah, we'll move on to that. All right, so that wraps up our Breakfast in Bed Apologies, Houston Rockets edition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the best thing? Steak and eggs, best thing. Best thing you saw.
I'm going to go with, it's good for me as a Miami Heat fan to hate the New York Knicks. And while they are not in the playoffs, what is great to see is that three former New York Knickerbockers are in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. Prigioni, J.R. Smith, and Mon Shepherd. Now, granted, there are two of them are on the team with the best player in the league, but makes me feel good that they just got rid of players who are effectively contributing significantly to championship contenders, and they couldn't do a damn thing in New York City. So that's the best thing for me, because I'm just a hater at this point. My team's not in it. So F you, New York.
I'll just wait until they get another frozen lottery ball. Do they have a draft pick?
We can count Mozgov, sort of.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Sure. He's another one.
Yeah.
How did the Cavs GM not get GM of the year?
I don't think players are eligible.
No, they can't.
LeBron James joke. Oh.
You think he was like, get me Mozgov?
But I know he was the thing where they're like we're trying to get him on Shumpert, and LeBron apparently is like, no, I want J.R. Smith. And they're like, we think Shumpert. No, I want J.R. Smith. And then he's like, all right, well, I think we can get J.R. Smith too. I want J.R. Smith.
Party up in here.
But is he the GM of the year? Because if Kevin Love leaves and they just, you know, traded away probably a top 10 player eventually.
That's a vote against.
You can't have that. Andrew Wiggins winning.
That's player a big if, though.
That's on the other side of the ledger. I guess a lot of it will be how far.
I think history is going to give us a better understanding of that.
J.R. Smith or Shumpert, I can't remember which one, but Instagrammed a picture of them sitting on the bench distraught and them when they're in their Cavs uniforms. Yeah. And it was just another man's trash. One man's trash is another man's treasure. So they were even rubbing it in the Knicks' face. My best thing is the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, one, made the playoffs this year, but that's old news. Rajon Rondo in the playoffs played two games, scored 19 points total.
Then literally quit his team.
And six assists, and either quit his team or was told to leave. Jeff Green played 298 minutes, and his playoff PER was 7.8.
That is below 15.
Rondo and Jeff Green were both very disappointing for their teams. The Boston Celtics turned those two guys,
delicious draft picks,
into two delicious first round draft picks. A hat tip to a Twitter user, Michael V. Pena, for that those actual stats.
But the actor Mike Pena?
Not Pena.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So the Celtics GM Danny Ainge.
Okay, maybe he should have gotten GM
having a good year. So that's my best thing. See, look, I'm not even biased. I didn't even take my negative Grizzlies from that.
I have Sugar Plum Fairies and Jeff Green dancing in my head now. It hurts.
Wait, aren't those? I thought the Sugar Plum Fairies were supposed to be good.
No, because then I'm just slouching towards diabetes.
Okay.
Bad things.
Sugar Man over here. I love
Sugar
Man. Tell me more about Sugar
Plum.
You got a best thing, John?
Oh, my best thing is all of the sweet, sweet Schadenfreude we had experienced in this round. from Paul Pierce making a game-winning shot only to have it taken away for being 0.2 seconds too late, to Chris Paul pulling his amazing Kevin Hart impression out again as he climbed Dwight Howard like King Kong at the end of...
The pogo stick hopping on.
Unbelievable. Just too many funny things happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't gloat as much as I thought you would about, or maybe you're saving it, about the hated Paul Pierce for you guys having...
Oh, it's so sweet. And then, of course, he's being so melodramatic.
The rug.
I don't know if I even want to play basketball anymore.
Yeah, I really got to check with my family. We probably shouldn't be doing these sorts of voices.
No, that that was the most. It's hard to think of a worse way to lose a basketball game.
Yeah, and that's great.
Yeah, so
that's great for me.
You guys are very gleeful.
So very happy.
I'm very gleeful about it.
That the hobo Paul Pierce, who shaves with broken 40 bottles and bathes in cat pee, is no longer in the playoffs. And perhaps the last shot of his life in a professional sense.
Didn't count.
Didn't count and broke his own heart. So I love it.
I just, yeah.
It's like the opposite of Jordan's Jazz game six winner.
Right.
It's the like polar opposite for
walk
him.
It off, Paul.
It's just. Yeah. It's just part of it is also that I know in the NFL, random football sidebar, the negative one of the negative things about instant replaying all scoring plays is you've removed the aspect of immediately celebrating,
right?
Because you there's no reason even to celebrate a touchdown because you're like, right. Well, they're going to review it, who knows? So this takes away, like, I know it's good to get the calls right because we don't want a team necessarily to lose on a shot that was after a buzzer, but it's still. I understand the argument of, like, isn't it just, perhaps is it better the old way where...
I think it absolutely is better the old way.
Because, like, those, you know, like...
But this is the rare time where it goes in my favor.
Right, yeah.
What did he call out, Chuck, you think, after he let that one fly?
Well,
he said he called... He didn't call game, he called an Uber.
Well, you know, in game five,
retiring
in game five, he called series.
Yes,
yeah. When he hit that quote unquote the go ahead three,
there's
the potential
been a lot
K winner,
of Paul Pierce Schadenfreude, this
and then
time.
And then yeah. Paul Millsap struggles.
No, Al Horford.
I mean, Al Horford. Yeah, yeah. Who put it back in? All right, those were our steak and eggs best things. What is the opposite of that? Your cream of wheat worst of week.
The Cavs are in the conference finals. Bulls couldn't do it. Didn't, you know, Paul Gasol being out.
Well, you might need to score, you know, like more than 70 points if you're going to try to win a series there, Bulls.
I guess the worst of the week is Joakim Noah with his hair down for me.
If you haven't seen it, it's...
whatever. It depends who you are. It could be glorious or it could be just distraught.
Looks like Jar Jar Binks had sex with a tennis pro, which I think is actually how Joakim Noah was created.
He's like, it's Fabio and a chipmunk got in a time machine together, and there was a terrible accident.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like The Fly.
Yeah. But, that series ended up breaking my heart. You know, had so much hope. But once J.R. Smith got back, there was the shooting that the Cavs needed for the spacing for LeBron to do what LeBron does. And now we're going to see LeBron in probably another finals again. Oh, yeah?
Well, this call train.
You also had the Cavs losing to Boston in round one. So
I didn't have the balls to do it, but I did intimate that it might happen.
It was. You gave yourself all the outs necessary to make yourself sound good. But,
like a true con artist.
the huckster that you are. But that's probably the worst thing for me, obviously, as a Heat fan, to watch LeBron win some more, and I don't want him in the finals. However, if he does go to the finals and loses again, it just cements any argument you ever have as someone who will claim he is better.
Wouldn't you rather him lose in the finals?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And become like the Buffalo Bills
sort of thing? Yeah, where he's like...
I mean, yeah.
The Vincent Gallo of the NBA?
I mean, it's an incredible...
That's a good reference.
That's a deep Buffalo... What's the...
Buffalo 66.
Buffalo 66 reference.
I guess this might end up, getting filleted by Chloe Sevigny, though, if he plays his cards.
We're going deep down a Robert a rabbit hole, if you will.
Brown bunny hole?
Right. on Vincent Gallo films. my cream of wheat worst of week, I'm going to go and give it to Nene Hilario.
Oh, my.
Who, I believe you would say he pooped the bed.
Mm-hmm.
You predicted, John. I don't want to call you out.
It's dogpiling.
Yeah. It's
dogpiling on your boy.
Dogpile on John Day. You predicted, and I thought it was I agreed. I'll tell you, I agreed. I had your back. That the Wizards front line would probably have a field day against the Hawks front line. The Hawks have no rim protection. Horford has looked banged up. Millsap has looked slower than normal.
I think Horford
Nene's, if the HGH wore off, or...
He needs some more.
What are we going to say about Horford?
He's undergoing like a Bruce Jenner-like transformation.
Here we go.
Into a woman.
Bruce Jenner.
Because I don't know what's wrong with Al Horford. He is not playing with any physicality any longer.
He is... They just looks like they have no... I mean, he's never been... incredibly athletic. And he has that set shot that's good, but it's kind of, I don't know. It's
not like the Marcus Hawks Aldridge
are,
good.
The Hawks are so underwhelming in the front line. But I'm talking about
Nene.
I'm talking about Nene. So
his teammates hate him.
His teammates hate him. Marcin Gortat, the Polish Hammer, said...
Porn addict.
He would not mind...
Wait. What?
He's addicted to porn. He's open about it.
A Dave Duchovny style?
He just like reads it in the locker room.
Oh, really?
Like tweets about it constantly.
That's what happens when you take guys' guns away. Take the guns out of the locker rooms. They'll find something else.
Former Eastern Bloc...
Everybody look at this. This is porn
beautiful,
on Twitter.
Beautiful.
Gortat says. Sorry.
Yes. No. Okay.
He
back
says.
On, back on point.
That he would like one day to play with a stretch four.
Oh, my God.
To see how that would space the floor.
That's so beautiful.
So, I mean, the body's not even warm. It's still warm.
And then he's like. Like Paul Pierce on this very team.
Right.
Please do not play Nene.
He did specify that he liked Nene.
You kind of have to, you get the feeling that Nene's Gatorade bottles are filled with hyporinias.
Yeah.
He's drinking himself.
Delicious beverage.
Drinking himself into a, you know, stupor.
Maybe he's the new Vin Baker.
Maybe he's going to those Brazilian steakhouses and just never turns the card red.
Oh, man, those steakhouses. That's where I'm going to die.
That's exactly where I'm going to die. Planning my death.
Wait, you mean you don't have to stop eating this?
No, you could just keep chewing.
Salad bar, what?
No, wait.
Salad bar.
The best part is when Nene had a few monstrous dunks, and his teammates barely cheered.
Yeah.
Well, he did have one game, I think maybe it was game four, where he did have like maybe four monstrous dunks, or he was just putting it down. You're like, oh, that's the Nene we thought would take it.
There was one where John Wall stood up to celebrate and get all happy, and then it's like he was like, oh it's that means Nene's going to play more. God.
Yeah, this is killing us. All right, John, you got a cream of wheat?
Well, you actually stepped right into my wheelhouse.
Stepped right in the wheelhouse.
I was also going to go with Nene Hilario, but it's pretty easy to... look at how the Hawks have limped into this finals. As we saw this coming, that they had the easiest path, and I'm trying so desperately to talk myself into Hawks over Cavs, but I just don't know if I can. So to me, my worst is pretending that these are going to be series between the Warriors and the Rockets and the Cavs and the Hawks.
I think Cavs Hawks is going to be a series.
I do too.
I hope so too. If the Hawks can run like they have in their previous meetings, if they can get, you know. If the Cavs have too many guys underneath the basket and don't get out soon enough, the Hawks can run them off the court. But the Hawks have looked very sluggish.
They haven't hit anything.
No. They're going to need playoff Jeff Teague.
And they're not getting – they're really not scoring the pace that you'd need to keep up with.
And I don't know how much of it is – I think I've said it many times. I've had a terrible read on the Wizards all year. And so maybe the Wizards' defense was good, and they were playing fantastic defense against the Hawks. It just seemed like the shots weren't falling for me for – Atlanta.
They are the Hawks. I mean, the Wizards have that athletic front court that I think isn't really going to change going into the Cavs series. That's while Kyrie Irving, I think, is a far less efficient defender than John Wall.
If you're having a hard time scoring on Paul Pierce and Marcin Gortat, good luck scoring on like Tristan Thompson and Tima.
And I think if Kyrie is healthy enough. The lack of rim protection on the Hawks, in my mind, just seems like it's going to murder them. Like,
devastating.
Like, I mean, Damari Carroll is the only guy who you're like, that guy's balling.
But he's going to be charged Garden with LeBron. Harassing LeBron
yeah,
the whole
it's
game.
It's going to be.
But here's my other, you know, and I saw it happen, and you see it happen in the playoffs, especially with a number one seed. You get your eyes on a certain team as the team you're prepping to beat in the playoffs, and everyone else kind of turns into... you know, chum that you don't really put your effort into. And I think the Hawks have circled this Cavs series since the beginning of the season. They knew that they needed the number one seed and fought their ass off to get it. And maybe it's one of those situations where they're just lethargic and, you know, are just waiting for the right team, because probably those guys on the Hawks are basketball fans like we are. And we knew that the, you know, Nets and the Wizards aren't that great and they could kind of mail in a few games. That being
said, they really came close to blowing that Wizards.
They did. Oh, really?
But they still won in six. Paul Pierce did hit three game, basically game winners, and only won one game. So that,
they were a John Wall injury away from going home early.
Yeah, they were, and they locked in. But you know, Miami had those things with LeBron. I hate to bring it all back to my purview, but they just didn't always play up to the level of competition. And you know, it happens.
Yeah, that's the NBA. The best case scenario for the Hawks, really.
Yeah, is that
they can now unleash the power.
Yeah, that they've been waiting, and they have. You know, Budenholzer's got this game plan that he's going to unleash and make the Cavs look silly.
I'm not a believer in it. That's like a
no, me neither.
I'm being hopeful.
It's the whole thing where like I don't watch college basketball, but then I fill out my bracket and I just pick some random team. You know, say I pick like 2-seed Arizona, and then you watch that first game and they're struggling.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, yeah, like, exactly, like if you struggle against the 15 seed, typically you're not going to turn it on ever. Like, yeah, you now know, oh, this was a terrible Final Four pick that I just made. Yeah. Turns out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
unless it's Duke, who always struggles horribly early and then destroys everyone.
Defending national champion Duke. Yes. As long as they get by the Lehighs of the world.
Mm-hmm. That being said, coming over, you know, we're not in Scattered Smothered yet.
We are right now. Waffle House presents
Hassan Whiteside.
Cox it back to Waffle House presents Scattered Smothered Covered Thoughts.
Going into this, you know, we have these four teams left in the West. While I think the Warriors have a better team, they aren't as tested as the Rockets. Unfortunately, we have two of the best players on the Rockets. Both made finals appearances, both got their asses whooped, and that has a huge part to do, I think. And
are you Trevor discounting Reese's Corey guy? Brewer's ring?
I am. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, Ariza's been to the dance, and that's a team with experience in playoff games. And while I won't bet money on the Rockets, I think
well,
that team
you need
has a
about $650 to make $100 if you want to take them in the series.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they are favored.
What I mean to say is the Warriors are huge, monstrous favorites
backwards
in this series.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you can make $650 with that $100 bet on the Rockets.
So I think you should do this.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You look at the history of the NBA and the teams like the Warriors, while they are dominant, statistically they seem like the team that will do it, just from their offensive and defensive rankings. There's no real experience there from any of the top players on that roster, and they haven't had their heart broken yet. You know, a la Jordan in the early, you know, in the late 80s, and you know, even Miami with the Mavericks loss. It's not that easy to win an NBA championship.
I agree with what you're saying. I do think the Rockets have a lot of guys on their team who actually have, like Jason Terry also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But since those players don't have it as a team, you know, like this Rockets don't have it, and then the Hawks have nothing.
Right.
And then you obviously have LeBron.
With a bunch of no ones.
With a bunch of no ones.
And Mike Miller.
Yeah. Mike Miller, James Jones aren't getting off that bench.
No.
You know, so I think in the Warriors' favor, outside of them looking like the best team,
right,
also in their favor is that they aren't going up against a battle-tested like Spurs or
squad,
whoever.
Yeah, that have done it together. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Really, none of these teams were even in the playoffs this time last year.
Yeah.
You know? No,
so it's neat.
Nobody experienced is going to be winning this.
It's strange as a fan for me to not have a team I hate. I know, Chuck, you obviously hate LeBron and the Cavs, mm-hmm, but it's weird for me as a fan.
You hate the Rockets.
I do. Honestly, I did hate the Rockets.
Yep.
And then once my heart was crushed with the Grizzlies being out, and then the Clippers started blowing their series, I realized how much I hated the Clippers was more than how much I hated the Rockets. So then I got real excited. And again, I've always had a sickness for Josh Smith. And so seeing Josh Smith play well, seeing Josh Smith play like I always dreamed he should play, like even though he's not as athletic as he used to be, I used to just love his left-handed block shots, his dunks, and then his sporadic shooting. You're like, man, if this guy could get it together, it'd be like
it's
my favorite player.
It's bizarre. Somehow Kevin McHale has convinced him. I think a lot of it is playing with his like childhood best friend, Like,
wait,
he plays,
those guys play together?
Oh, dear. I'm what have kidding. I done? but he seems to, you know, he kind of relishes this role as sort of like an assassin, you know? He just comes in and does a thing here or there that's super important. It's kind of like
right.
what Draymond Green does all the time.
And you wonder, and also you credited Mikhail earlier. I wonder if Mikhail gets credit because he switched the lineup up. And
right.
Josh Smith maybe is playing with a little more freedom back in the starting lineup. And this is, again, awesome for the Rockets, going back to the fact, like, Patrick Beverley, we thought was the ingredient they needed to have any playoff success. And
you,
even
you
and
have
even,
to wonder what this series would be like.
And even Beverley Donuts Monayunas.
Oh, Donuts.
We miss him.
Mm-hmm. Kostas Papanikolaou. Oh, so many walking wounded.
Can the Grizzlies pry him free? He's not hurt. He's just not playing.
Yeah.
Really?
KJ McDaniels and Papanikolaou, who back in November were like our darlings.
KJ McDaniels.
You know? And now, now they're not even playing. Now it's Pablo Prigioni, New York Knickerbocker.
Good Lord. Dork Elvis has built himself a team.
Yeah.
He really has. And a lot of it is just, yeah, when Corey Brewer, who I think has always played hard, he's always been slightly overrated defensively, but just the fact that he actually hustles,
he's completely out of control.
he's the best cherry picker we've ever seen.
Yeah.
He can change
birds.
He can change into the court, but I tongue in cheek, it's not a terrible thing. He does when he knows when a turnover is happening and he's gone.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm gonna go get me a bucket.
In a desperate effort to avoid a Grizzlies epilogue this week, I want to go ahead and talk about the Grizzlies getting bounced now.
Real quick, well, we were going to do a Grizzlies funeral.
Oh.
A Grizzlies eulogy. Do you want to say a few words for all our listeners?
Yeah, I guess I will. You know, it's times like these when you find out who your friends are. Because anyone who texted me anything but in the most somber and reverent tone after that Grizzlies were bounced in such an unceremonious way. Multiple blowout, just beat downs.
Drubbings.
I knew that person, if they made even the slightest of joke, they were no longer in my life.
Yeah.
I was really pleased with my support network.
Oh, yes.
And again, I guess we are going to have a funeral for the Grizzlies epilogue. Oh, but I was at a wedding on Saturday, a couple days after the Grizzlies were eliminated. And I probably had 25 people, no joke, come up to me and just be like, hey, man, I'm really sorry about the Grizzlies. and it was, I thought it was so kind. And it honestly was one of the least painful playoff losses, series losses for the Grizzlies I can remember. So
I kind of feel the same way just because it seems so inevitable.
Right. Something about that made it seem not as painful, but people reached out.
That sliver of hope was painful, though.
I know Keith sounds like he's doing well, but it looks like he hasn't washed his hair in a week. And
he's wearing a Wayne Ellington shirt.
And he's wearing a Wayne Ellington shirt.
Ellington Grizzlies shirt.
Grizzly shirt that he got post-Wayne Ellington trade. I don't even know how he left.
Right. No, Wayne Ellington was traded, I believe, packaged with Spates and a first rounder to get John Lure.
As I was getting out of the car to do this podcast, I had an allergy attack and had tears streaming down my face and had to wipe away the tears. I looked down at what I had wiped the tears away with, and it was a Grizzlies We Don't Bluff towel.
That's funny.
An incredible confluence of very depressing events.
One other thing, and this is an interesting, I don't know, thing that I saw on Reddit and something we can discuss. Would it have been better for the Clippers to have lost to the Spurs in Game 7 than lose the way they did?
No.
I don't think so because of I'm going to say no as well, just because you finally got that one. Chris Paul came through so clutch that he put all the ridiculous haters to bed.
Yeah.
Although they all came back to that.
They kind of came back. But I feel like anyone who came back with that was just obviously trolling.
Skip Bayless.
It's all on Doc Rivers for me. Building the team, the roster building.
And this should have been my worst of the week. Did you hear him complaining about the roster after they lost?
It is a level of delusion.
Wow. How he had to
rarely say.
He said he
you know, when I came in here, I knew we were in trouble.
Did
I
you?
I knew we were in trouble.
You had a Hall of Fame point guard in his prime.
Yeah, you had
multiple all-stars, a defensive center who's, you know, probably a top five defensive center and rebounder in the
perfectly
league.
Adequate Jared Dudley, who you played while injured and then traded in a ridiculous cap-shedding move.
You had you had this player named Eric Bledsoe.
LeBron Jr.
That you let go for nothing. And what are we doing, Doc? You traded for your son, you schmuck. How about you just shut your mouth and realize that you got outcoached by goofus Kevin McHale.
You got outcoached by the slippery eel.
By Herman Munster.
The Timberwolves franchise ruiner.
let's switch gears just slightly. The NBA All Rookie Team was announced. I think they did a pretty good job. You know, a lot of the awards, you're always like, why are these voting? It seems off. So the first team, Andrew Wiggins, Nikola Mirotic, Nerlens Noel, Elfrid Payton, and then I guess maybe the biggest surprise was Jordan Clarkson.
Boo.
Well, see, Jordan Clarkson with
empty points,
the late season. Again, it's a late season push on a terrible team.
Give me Marcus Smart and his three steals a game, you know, or per 36 any day of the week.
Yeah, so God. Marcus Smart was the first alternate on the second team, and that was kind of surprising.
And then it was just if you were a rookie and alive, you made the second
right.
team.
Zach LaVine, who
terrible.
Again, empty points. Ugh. Bojan Bogdanović actually had a pretty decent season.
He closed strong.
He shot a good percentage. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yusuf Nurkic came on like gangbusters and then disappeared hurt. Yeah. And then Langston Galloway, a little undrafted.
What,
or second rounder?
What
I can't remember.
Ever.
So, all these. I do think as far as...
He'll be a Pacer next year. He sounds really white.
He sounds like a white guy.
Throwback conspiracy theory. Yes. Look that one up. I think the only snub... Rodney Hood is better than a lot of the guys. He's better than Zach LaVine. He's better than Langston Galloway. I think
he's better than Jordan Clarkson.
He's better than Jordan Clarkson. But again, he didn't get that much playing time. And again, hey, you play on the West Coast. You get left out of votes.
Play in Mormon country.
Now it's time for the awards segment of the program. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
I'm terrified of this one.
It goes to, rest easy, John. Goes to the worst performance in a box score. Derrick Rose, not a nominee. He had a 2-week run there during the playoffs. Woo. We have three nominees. No Grizzly made it, John. Here again.
Wow, I was scared Mark the Shark was going to make an appearance.
Yeah, he didn't quite. Again, even when Mark misses like 9 shots in a row, he doesn't end up shooting that. Like, it's like... Yeah. He only shoots like, anyway. So we have two honorable mentions. Bron was 7 for 23, but it, you know, filled up the box score in every other way imaginable. John Wall also 7 for 21 in a game, but again, like 14 assists. Our three nominees.
Yeah, I think John Wall created the most points this playoffs.
Oh, with the assists. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was killing it on the assists. Our three nominees are James Harden in a victory, was 5 for 20. Poor percentage, but
made
again,
700 free throws.
Yeah, he was 19 for 9. No, he was 11 for 11 free throws, 23 points. Didn't turn the ball over, 3 assists, 2 boards. Kyle Korver, the human flamethrower, Kyle Korver, the greatest statistical shooting season of all time, in 40 minutes made 1 shot, was 1 for 8, 3 turnovers. Also,
we are gonna have
4 boards, 2 assists, 1 for 8. He did get a block. You know, Kyle Korver...
He's got long arms.
...is a blocking machine.
Yes.
He averages twice as many blocks as Blake Griffin.
Yes.
Blake Griffin can touch 12 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. This is staggering to me. Anyway,
basketball IQ, my friend.
And then our third nominee, who has been a nominee every week of the playoffs, Jamal Crawford. 6 for 18 in the deciding game 7. 17 points, but nothing else. So, I think this...
Put me down for Korver.
Oh, 1 for 8, Korver.
You got to give it to him. That's disgusting. And he's the shooter. He's the rifleman. No, he's not the rifleman.
It pains
Chuck
me.
Person's going to find you.
Chuck Person's going to find me. And his little brother,
Wesley's going to find you.
Wesley, the pistol's going to come find you. All right. I was going to go Jamal Crawford for his 6 for 18 and his 20% shooting over the last however many games. But... I respect the process.
One shot.
Cal Korver was
He made one shot in 40 minutes.
Dramatically terrible in that game. Like, bumbling fool. If he has a late steal that's absolved him a little bit, but other than that, just completely, like, 40 minutes of terror.
The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award goes to Cal Korver. Surprising.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire.
Cal All right, Korver. Now our par fadeaway, our wrap-up. Any other things we need to get to or we're looking forward to? In the conference finals,
I'm hoping that Patrick Beverley's got his cast off his hand.
He does have his cast off his hand.
It's apparently,
is this a real thing?
Yeah, a real thing. And really, he doesn't. As long as the hand has no cast, he's effectively the same player.
Man, If he's on Steph Curry's hip all series, this is a different series.
Yeah, so you know,
Jason Terry, and
maybe
Papado,
we should
honey.
Be buying on those Rockets that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. It's a good little play if you want to take the chance with the boy.
I'll put in 33 1/3 if you guys want to do this.
Let's do it. So if Beverly does come back, I think it does change things. You hope to find a decent series with Hawks Cavs. I think the matchups there don't favor Atlanta. But I've been surprised before, and LeBron has played a ridiculous amount of basketball over the past 10 years. 92 games a season he's averaged over the past 10 years. That's according to a person.
So that's like 10 times, that's like 10 times more than Anderson Varejao.
Exactly. And now he's going to be putting in far more work than he even did in the past 4 years in the finals and in conference finals with Miami. And I think you may see a drop off in his.
I mean, Cavs Hawks could go 7 games, but I think it's like the illusion of a good series.
I have a predilection for predictions, and I need to hear y'all's predictions on these series.
Oh yeah, that's that's good. I will go Cavs Hawks. I'm picking the Cavs in 6, and this is only because I cannot envision a world where the Atlanta Hawks make the NBA Finals.
I can't.
So that's like literally it. I assume just LeBron's going to keep just getting to the finals, dragging his
whatever carcass wounded, of a team.
Wounded carcasses well, along with him.
Yeah, I'm going the same. I can't imagine the Hawks beating them. However, I could see it happening in a place where Kyle Korver, not regresses, but
progresses towards the mean.
He goes back and that series he brushes it aside and he shoots 55% from three for the series and he turns into a nightmare for the Cavs to defend. And
Shumpert.
Yeah, which is a real possibility because the statistics are so randomized and I don't think he is going to miss for that long. So it could happen. I don't see it happening. So Cavs in 6.
I predicted Hawks over Cavs in 7.
You did earlier.
Earlier when we started
playoff preview.
Even though I did throw some Celtic shade around. And I'm going to stick with it. The Cavs have not played well against the Hawks in the past. And I really think if Kyrie Irving is banged up and if we can get some more playoff Jeff Teague, which we haven't seen much, if we can get the Jeff Teague of years past playoff, then we might have a real mismatch as far as how is Kyrie going to stop him? Because he doesn't play any defense.
Well, and the Cavs are just an isolation ball machine.
They're awful to watch.
Right? And their defense is not very good.
And it's not very good. So you're looking at a team and the Hawks have assisted on 68% of their made field goals all year.
Right.
That's per ESPN stats. That's a recipe for some sort of, you know.
I think the Hawks are going to make. I like Hawks in 7.
I don't know anything.
You got to hit jumpers to get assists.
That's true.
I haven't seen the Hawks do it.
No.
Yeah. Rockets, Warriors. I'm going to take the Warriors in 6. Part of me thinks it's going to be a domination win for the Warriors, but then I don't know how much of that is just me being butthurt. and thus wanting the Warriors to just stomp, but then you know the Rockets are coming together and they're intriguing, but I do think the Warriors are going to overwhelm them. They're so good.
Hasn't every team that beat the Grizzlies gone on to make the finals?
Something
the Grizzlies have never. The Grizzlies have never lost to the NBA champion.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that. I mean,
but yeah, they lost. They lost to the Thunder, and the Thunder went to the finals, right? Or am I thinking wrong?
I'd have to think about it.
Anyway, that was a dumb stat that I should have looked up before.
I mean, they obviously lost to the Spurs, obviously, right. In the conference finals.
In the conference finals last year. I'm sorry. I haven't slept much.
I think your butt's on the right track, Keith. I'll take Warriors in 5.
Warriors in 5. And did you say what you wanted there?
I'm going Warriors in 6. I think the Rockets could. You could have a Dwight Howard dominance of explosion.
I don't see Dwight being able to do that against Bogut and Green. And I think Kerr's right.
Bogut
smart.
Is going to embarrass I'm calling it the Dwight Howard goodness train. Yeah. His streak of playing well is going to end.
Okay.
Ezeli's going to get him.
Oh, Festus for
Uncle
the rest
Festus.
Of us.
My final closing thought before we get to our Grizzlies funeral is Charles Barkley gave up on wanting a GM position, did accept...
Oh, you think so, doctor?
A 10-year extension with Turner Sports, which was apparently won over with $1,700 worth of tequila and wine. Apparently they killed... He said they killed the two... And again, that's two bottles of wine, two bottles of tequila equals $1,700.
Some Don Julio 1942, I believe.
And he said they took care of it that night.
Yeah.
Him and the Turner... head of whatever it was, sports media.
It was
something.
Ted Turner.
Ted Turner can throw him back.
Yacht club in it.
A little side weird thing. Since 1990, this is off of Reddit user Paul Zors. Since
shout out.
My favorite one, my Kyle Korver, Josh Smith 3-point percentage right. came from a user I Eats Booty. So
love these I love sources. Reddit.
So yeah,
we don't want to not attribute.
This so, is okay. a really good, and we were talking about this, I think, on
MLA
the last
style.
On the last podcast of when was the last time a good point guard has won a championship. But since 1990, no all-star point guard besides Tony Parker has won an NBA championship in the same year their all-star appearance. In 2015, this year, three current all-star point guards have a chance to win a championship.
Hey,
so that means Rockets are winning, right?
Listener interactivity. listener Daniel Box
yes.
accosted me at a wedding.
Yes.
Wanted me to point out to you, Chuck, that just last year, a point guard, or just 2 years ago, I guess, a point guard named, or last year, a point guard named Tony Parker kind of dominated the Heat.
He did, but Kawhi Leonard dominated the Heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Consider yourself rebuked, Daniel Box.
It's a good point.
That's who beat the Heat last year.
But your question was more, when's the last time an all-star point guard carried?
And I did exactly state Tony Parker as one of the
people. All right. So thank you for listening, everybody. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Thank you to all the people who interact with us there. Stick around for the Grizzlies funeral. I think it might
or
be.
Or don't. I would.
I think it might be entertaining. I think it might be more entertaining for non-Grizzlies fans. I'll be real. So again, thanks for listening. You guys remember, breakfast is the most important thing. Friends.
Dearly beloved.
Loved ones.
We are gathered here.
Cherished associates. Fans.
Too soon.
Gritters.
We are gathered here to remember, not to mourn, to celebrate the beautiful season that was your Memphis Grizzlies.
It was so beautiful.
To tell you the truth, I had a hard time, I wanted to remember the good. I had a hard time limiting myself when I think of all the joy they brought me.
You remember when Mark elbowed that ball into Steph Curry's face?
Yes.
That was hilarious.
I remember the three alley-oops.
You remember when Tony Allen wandered through that dance routine?
I will never forget.
That was hilarious.
No matter how hard we try, it's going to be hard to do justice for just how much good they did for us.
And the ass-whooping they received.
But mainly we're just happy to know they are in a better place.
Spain for some.
Yeah. Ibiza. Eating jamón ibérico.
So the I mentioned it in the podcast. This was a less painful playoff loss than other years because other playoff losses, it's like, it's like the painful stabbing. It's like you had the hope and it was all ripped away. You thought you were a better team. This one was more painful, painful because it was like we were immediately incinerated.
We ran into the Imperator Furiosa of the league.
The
one-armed Charlie's Theron that is Steph Curry.
He's making Mad Max references, and it's not fair. I haven't seen it yet.
It's not fair. I haven't seen it either. However, side note.
I've seen it three times.
Poor Beno Udry tweeted last night, Mad Max is terrible. Hashtag do not go. Hashtag waste of time. Hashtag worst movie. I don't know if I got that right. Which to me, Beno Udry is the most positive, again, based on Twitter, the most positive and happy player ever. I feel sad that he went and saw such a dark and nihilistic action film.
That movie is a celebration of life.
Okay, so I know that's how you feel, and so I just felt bad. It took me back to a very vulnerable time in my life when impressionable young Keith saw his first R-rated film, and it was Universal Soldier.
That's a great movie.
And again, a man raised on these types of movies like John Burr
absolutely
adores it. Yeah. A man like me, who had only seen like Sister Act and like PG movies, watching this movie where they're like sawing people's ears off and
ear necklaces
and disemboweling people, I was literally weeping and thanking my parents for never letting me watch a rated R movie. So anyway, I felt bad for Bano having to experience Mad Max. You know, like he just wants to go see a Kevin Hart film. Like, you know, he's a
I think you use Mad Max as a barometer. There were these two guys in front of me the first time wearing Affliction shirts, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to go well for these dudes. And their words as soon as the movie ended was, did you stay awake? And the guy goes, hell no, man. That movie is literally just a car chase
the whole time.
All right, so let's bring it back to
Bano,
our Affliction shirt wearing
some so-and-so.
So speaking of Bano.
Terrible.
The Grizzlies were matched up against the Warriors, obviously. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are pure fire. Bano Udrih is an accelerant.
Yes.
He is the
catalyst. The gasoline.
In game five, when they actually got up by 10, like, and then they brought in not a defensive player, they brought in Bano Udrih, and then the Warriors took over a 10-point lead in less than like a minute and a half, and then that propelled them to a 88-50 run.
Jaeger, the moments when Jaeger needed to shorten his bench even further never came for Simple Dave. He refused to do these things.
Yeah.
Is that
that's who he is to me
is
now.
Is that the Ben Stiller movie from...
Yeah.
We're doing far too many movie references.
We really are.
Simple Dave.
So...
I'm pretty bummed out about how the... I know it was an easy as losses come... But I'm like, maybe perhaps it's just fatalism or cynicism rolling out in me. I'm starting to get worried about Mark leaving just because it's hard for me to look at this team and think that it can win a championship the way the league is moving. One of the sadder subplots of the playoffs for me has been you can't start guys like Matt Barnes and Tony Allen and win in this league to me. It turns into 4-on-5 basketball in crucial situations.
I disagree. I mean, one. The sad part about this playoff series is the Grizzlies were 2-1 when Tony Allen played over 15 minutes.
Right.
Like he got hurt. Like if you even count the game, he didn't pull his hamstring. They were 2-0 when Mike Conley and Tony Allen both played.
I know that step. I feel like it's misleading because once the adjustment was made to just not guard Tony at all, that's when the series completely swung.
Yeah. It did, and you give credit to, because the Warriors, again, they were one of the best defensive teams all year.
Right.
Statistically the best in a lot of metrics. They did make that adjustment. I was blown away that the Grizzlies couldn't adjust more and actually get open shots.
Right.
I don't understand how the Warriors could double team the post immediately.
Right.
Chuck just had his first yawn. I don't understand.
One of many.
I don't understand how you can double team the post immediately and then the offensive team can't get an open shot. Yes, Tony Allen was left open, but I'm saying they didn't even get open shots for bad shooters. Well,
They're just the Warriors' length on the perimeter is ridiculous, and they close out.
There's photos of five guys within like an arm's length of Zach Randolph.
Yeah,
right.
And
it was a buzzsaw down low.
It really was. And then by the time they got it out, a lot of the Grizzlies shooters were standing like a foot outside the line.
The Rockets did the exact same thing to the Clippers with Matt Barnes. I think Matt Barnes ended up shooting even worse than Tony Allen.
I mean, and the lack of shooting period on the team, it was almost weird to watch Jaeger go to those two point guard lineups with Courtney Lee on the bench.
The Grizzlies should... Yeah, they should throw whatever money it takes to get a pure shooter.
Right, and, you know, it's just and there are certain points in the game where, you know, you're up 11.
Right.
You're feeling good, and then you sit all your starters with Steph Curry on the floor.
Well, I mean, they didn't sit all the starters. It's just they sit their backcourt. So one of the big issues was, again, we're talking about if Mike Conley's face isn't broken, it's different. This is a series where you needed Mike Conley to do like a Chris Paul level minutes. Like you needed 40 something minutes, and he couldn't play almost over 30. He was worthless
and
he got over 30.
He also described the pain as it felt like he was dying.
Right. Which
I guess you're right. I'm being a little too over the top, but it was, you know, I hated watching a game and feeling like the outcome was never in doubt.
Yeah.
Which is what it ended up being the last few games, which is why Memphis fans, if you wanted a ticket to game six in Memphis on a Friday night in the Western Conference semifinals, you could have flown round trip from San Francisco and sat like 15th row for the same price.
It's in like, Keith's seat.
It's like club seats in San Francisco. Another sad thing about this playoff run is I saw Twitter guy, Crass Farrell, Twitter user.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know.
That's a Mad Max name.
He pointed out that apparently Costa Kufos had been moved into Ed Davis's bench seat for playoff runs, which again, Costa Kufos is going to be gone. We're assuming there's almost no way he comes back.
That's extremely sad. I think we're going to lose both of the balding babushka twins.
It is sad because
Calathes is gone as well. I think Calathes is out of the league.
Well, Calathes is assuming going to take a European deal for a couple million a year because he made like $800,000 this past year.
Yeah, I think so.
So Kufos again, and this is a thing where he played like some games like 10 minutes a game. The Zebo had a lot of trouble. His pick and roll defense was one. Again, the Warriors were efficient. You had to close out. You had to show on those screens for three pointers, and they were just, you know, whipping the ball around, getting Bogut dunks. At least Kufos, when he came in and played, seemed to be very effective.
Gasol and Kufos were better on the court than Zebo and Gasol.
Yeah.
It was very clear to the naked eye.
So moving forward, we've buried them. How do you rebuild them? What players would you like to see on the Grizz next season to give you the shooting you want?
Unfortunately,
it all depends on Gasol.
It depends on Jeff Green opting. We assume Jeff Green's opting in.
I'm certain of it.
No, he will. There's no way after this playoff that he's going to take a chance.
The only problem is if he opts in and the only hope you can have as a Grizzlies fan of him not opting in is another year on Memphis is going to deflate his value even more.
That is true.
He's never going to get the open looks. He's never going to really get out and run. So if he decides, is it better for me to take $9 million right now and then deflate my value for the next year? Or could I get...
Take seven this coming and then try to play better?
Or could I play a couple, like do a player option to you? So I don't know.
Yeah, because if he played on like a team that ran, he could, you know, he could still be like an 18 points a game.
Absolutely.
But would a Danny Green look good in Grizz blue?
There's no...
give him to me.
Well, there's no scenario. The Grizzlies don't have cap space.
Right.
The Grizzlies have...
Well, if Kufos is gone... Kufos is gone.
So the problem with Kufos...
Lure's gone.
You assume Lure's not going to be brought back. Those three people you just mentioned make a combined $4.5 million.
Right. Those were all part of the cap trades from before.
Right. Yeah. So replacing a center, because you're gonna have to replace a center.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it's gonna be tough.
Screwed.
I mean, I would be curious just as bench players. I think of like, you wonder how much Jared Dudley's gonna get on the open market.
Yeah,
he will probably be in demand.
No, he will be.
You could probably pull Darrell Wright off the trash heap. Again, he's not a guy you want playing a ton of minutes, but he is just a shooter who plays unselfishly. Which, you know, he feels like he could fit in.
But he's a baller, and he wants to live in a city where ballers live. And
he wears all leather when he sits on the bench.
Yeah.
so you're not sure.
These are the Darrell Wright tidbits you need to know.
Right. So, I mean,
bring out the Gamp.
for me, they need... I almost wonder if they should stretch provision Vince Carter for his 1 year left. Because he's making $4 million.
That's some cash.
And then I believe it stretches over 3 years, so you free up like 2.7 this coming year, and maybe you could at least get an NBA player to fill that role.
You can tell whether or not someone watches the Grizzlies with any sort of like spirit or you know, regularity by, do they hate Vince Carter?
The few guys I would... Another guy that this is like a wildness. He's not a great shooter, but he made the minimum last year, and I don't know what his intentions are. Like a Omri Caspi. Like again, if we're talking about like eighth, ninth players, I feel like he could fit in.
But you got to remember, Omri Caspi put up those numbers playing for George Karl at the end of the year.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if those are real.
I'm not saying he's a go-to player. He's, again, we're at the point, the Grizzlies coming into this year frustrated me to no end in the fact that they downgraded their bench, I think, terrifically.
Yeah.
They promoted John Luehr and Quissy Pondexter to like seventh and eighth men before finally giving up on that. They signed throughout the season Jamichael Green, Russ Smith, guys who don't even play, like Jordan Adams.
Let Ed Davis walk.
I'm just looking at, I want nothing. To fill out the bench with more NBA players.
Yeah, actual
just
players.
Period.
Yes.
Just guys who belong in the league.
So you have to look at what moves can be made, and
there aren't many.
What are we talking about? What can you get for a Z-Bo at this point? If I know that's blasphemy,
I'm fine with. I mean, Z-Bo's staying at a reasonable $10 million, which is good for them. And I'm not one who thinks you need to break up the Tony Allen, Z-Bo, Gasol. I'm just saying, fill them up with guys. Random.
There are better trash heap players to be gotten.
You know what
than
shirt
what
I'm,
they have done.
You've mentioned what shirt I'm wearing right now.
Wayne Ellington could have made some.
Wayne Ellington is a minimum. He a minimum salary player this year, yeah. And a lot of it is there's so many free agents this coming season. It's going to be interesting what the market bears for guys who don't matter. You know, guys who aren't a big thing. And we talked about it with. Chandler Parsons making $15 million, but would you rather get a lot of these peripheral, what used to be middle class players? Their value has just descended,
mm-hmm. right?
And some of that, everyone's saying Kufis is going to get a payday. I'm not sure what the value is now of these centers.
He looks like a Popovich future pickup.
I think Kufis gets paid, but to a larger point, we needed more players like Wayne Ellington who could have 25 point games shooting from the corner than players like Jeff Green who, when they get 25 points, need to get to the rim.
Yeah,
we needed players like
right.
that.
So, like Wayne Ellington is a above average 3-point shooter.
Right,
just a middling 37%.
That would have been huge against the Warriors.
And just having one guy on your bench who can competently come in and play. He's right. a weird example because again, he's another guard, and we're a glut of Tony Allen.
Or
and
think of
Lee.
What Mike Miller did for us in the playoffs last year. Huge games,
right.
multiple 20-point games.
Right,
yeah. That would have been huge.
My takeaway. Kind of to finally put them to bed, I'm curious, John, what you feel. There's been a lot of discussion on whether you consider this season a failure. I think it's a ridiculous, it's a weird term. Like, obviously, we had a great fun this year. They made the second round of the playoffs. They lost to perhaps the NBA champion. I do feel it's warranted to say the season was a disappointment, which is where I lie.
Well, you also had, you already spent all your money from that 40-1 ticket.
I'm. On the funeral pyre, I haven't burned the ticket yet. I figured I'm gonna say a few words and light my 40-1.
You should fill that bad boy with marijuana, roll it up, smoke it with Tony Allen.
His
murder.
My disappointment is based on this was ostensibly a title year where you're all in. You traded Tayshaun Prince, who finished the year over 45% from 3-pointers.
Right. Earthworm Jim doing work.
You traded Tayshaun Prince and a first round pick for Jeff Green. And yes, I thought it was a good idea. I thought I was fine with it.
I'm still fine with it.
Yeah, I'm still fine with it. But so we're going all in. The fact that last year I feel like the Grizzlies had a much better roster, actually, because you took away Tayshaun Prince, Mike Miller, James Johnson,
Ed Davis
for Vince Carter and Jeff Green, pretty much.
Nothing.
And then D-League players who aren't going to do anything.
So this is my last thought on the Grizzlies.
Yep.
When they rolled out their scrubs at the end of games, when it was truly over,
right.
I don't think there's a worse team in the league than the Grizzlies scrubs.
That was one of my takes. I don't know why our 10 through 13 are so embarrassing.
Humiliating.
No one else is doing this in the NBA. Like,
being at the games, Grizzlies fans don't know who these players are.
Well, so people are excited about Russ Smith.
No.
Like 24-year-old second round undersized scoring guards.
They tend to not pan out.
That's never happened. Like, it's literally like your best case scenario is like
Eddie House
is a guy who was good immediately. like Monte Ellis was a high schooler.
Yeah.
Like when he was drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like Eddie House. You know. Like
that's your best bet.
Yeah. That's like best case scenario. So
James, I can't even James Johnson. What did he do?
He must be a creep. So like again, I was again less disappointed this year because again it felt inevitable. It doesn't match my disappointment for last year.
Yeah, that was
winning game seven against. I thought the Grizzlies, you know, obviously could have won the title last year. They lost in seven games in the first round to the Thunder, to a great Thunder team.
Mm-hmm. That was rigged.
It was so Z-Bo was suspended. Calathes didn't play the whole series because
for
Rogaine. And then
Rogaine abuse.
And then in that game seven. This is real like sour grapes.
Oh yeah,
deep Grizzlies fan stuff.
You guys are like, we're scorned Heat Techs
fan.
In
that
in a whole
segment.
This is our funeral.
Venting. I get
this
a grieving.
This is a wake.
This is our grieving process. Grieving.
Well, in a wake, we celebrate. We are
so no
all over these guys.
This is a dirge.
In game seven, they played John Luehr 20 minutes. They didn't play Ed Davis. They didn't play James Johnson. And Costa Kufos got 5 minutes. So, like, last year, it was almost like they gave up based on their salary cap situation. And they're like, why? And so that was disappointing to me that they never seized it. To then not upgrade throughout the whole year. And then, and again, last year, it was Jason Levien making personnel moves, we think. This year was Chris Wallace, who
sucks.
I mean, it's hard to say. He's done a good job of keeping the team together. If you signed Marc Gasol, you did it. Congratulations.
He's great on Fox News, too. last thing before I actually have to go. If Mike Dunleavy signed with you guys,
I'm all in.
Beautiful, beautiful pickup. He is
the right age for us.
I love what you just said. I'd like to close with, yes, that is the Grizzly savior, Mike Dunleavy Jr.
I've been thinking, I mean, he's the guy I wanted last year, you know, it's like, and he's going to be a free agent. So, John, you have anything else you want to close, or we can probably wrap it
up? Let's wrap it up.
All right, so Grizzlies fans, I know a lot of you guys are happy. I am okay with it. I'm at peace with it. I wish they did more. I don't understand what they've done for going ahead in the future.
We lost to an awesome team.
We did lose to an awesome team.
I'll be rooting for them going forward, which was rare for me.
That's how I feel as well. I'm all in on the Warriors. I've pledged my allegiance to Steph Curry. I don't know. Again, a lot of Grizzlies fans are sore over Draymond Green, and they're like, oh, I can't cheer for the Warriors. I'm like, you're crazy.
F that guy.
This is the most likable NBA team I can remember.
Except for us.
Except for your lovable grit grind first team all defense.
Should be interesting finals on both sides.
Yep. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. Go Grizz. We'll try to break down more what we think they can do roster-wise going forward. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.